and welcome to the MBOM podcast, where you'll learn to master the business of yoga. MBOM is a proud part of the Wander Barn podcast network, and I'm your host, Amanda Kingsmith. I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, a yoga business coach, and a total business geek. Here at MBOM, you'll learn everything you need to know to create a sustainable yoga business by learning from myself and guests from around the world about how they built their yoga businesses. And about how you too can become a successful yoga teacher, studio owner, and much more. All right, let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the MBOM podcast. I am, as always, very excited and grateful that you're joining me today. I know that there's a lot of podcasts out there and a lot of episodes and shows that you can choose from. And so I just want to express how grateful I am that you decided to hit play on this episode of the show and have a listen here today. And today on the podcast, I am really excited to be joined by Kristen Zuckerow. This episode is actually from 2020, and this got recorded early on in 2020 before the pandemic happened, and then the pandemic happened and everything really pivoted. And so I held on to the episode for a while. And then Kristen actually pivoted with what she was doing and is now working on empowerment and life coaching instead of focusing on yoga teaching. However, I really wanted you guys to hear this episode of the show because we talk about what it's like to be a new yoga teacher. We talk about the ups and downs of teaching yoga, starting a yoga business, and as the world is kind of coming into some more stability in terms of the yoga space and people are, you know, teaching in person again, studios are reopened with less restrictions, it feels relevant to be having this conversation. So for those of you who are kind of pandemic yoga teachers who took your teacher trainings during the pandemic and are entering this sort of strange world we're in, I feel like this might be a really great episode for you or for people who have been teaching a little bit and haven't really been able to get into it because of the strangeness. And so Kristen shares her yoga story. She talks about her experience with transitioning into a career as a yoga teacher, and then all of the ups and downs, like I mentioned, that come with that, as well as much more. So I'm really excited for you to hear this episode. I'm excited to dive into it. But before we get there, I just wanted to give a little shout out to today's sponsor. Today's sponsor of the show is Offering Tree. You guys have heard me talk about Offering Tree a ton if you've been listening to the episode regularly. And I am super excited because Offering Tree is expanding and offering some new features. And a lot of those features are towards yoga studios, which is super exciting. As you guys know, yoga studios are near and dear to my heart. So I'm very, very excited about these shifts and these changes and updates. So I'm going to share more with you as we go. But if you are a yoga teacher who's looking for a one-stop shop software, or maybe a yoga studio owner who's been paying way too much money with another software, you definitely want to check out Offering Tree. We have a discount code for you. It's offeringtree.com/MBOM, and you'll hear more a little later on. All right, let's get into it. Without further ado, here is Kristen. Kristen, welcome to the podcast today. I'm super excited to have you here with me.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I am super excited to have this conversation with you. I actually haven't done a conversation with a newer yoga teacher since I first started the podcast over four years ago. So I'm really, really excited for this conversation because I think there's so much value around how we kind of enter the industry as a newer yoga teacher. But before we get to your kind of, you know, world as a yoga teacher so far. I'm curious if you can tell myself and listeners a little bit about your yoga story and how you first got into yoga.
I heard about yoga long before I actually tried it. The first I heard of yoga was when I was a senior in high school back in 1999, 2000. And a classmate of mine who was a very talented ballet dancer unfortunately sustained an injury. I remember her talking about starting her yoga practice because she missed her ballet so desperately. And when we asked her about it, she explained, well, yoga's recovery and stretching. And of course, my teenage self had no interest in learning more about it. My thought was the faster the pace of life and the faster the exercise, the better. So fast forward a number of years, I'd completed college. I was a young professional in the business world, and my sister, also a former ballet dancer, just like my friend, She was at college. She was experiencing her own yoga journey, had found a studio near her apartment, had sustained a really regular practice for herself. She raved about how yoga was transforming her mind, how it helped her body remain strong. And she kept telling me that it would be a wonderful activity to do together. It took me a long time to agree to do it with her. So up to that point, my introduction to yoga was really only anecdotal. And as someone who didn't dance ballet, unless you include like the very awkward time in first or second grade when I danced ballet, my assumption was that yoga was only for the very lean, the very limber, the very graceful dancers of the world. But right about this time that my sister was practicing in earnest and she was so persistent in inviting me to join her, I was actually planning my wedding. Yeah, and all of the activities that go along with the wedding celebration, my sister finally convinced me and the other bridesmaids that why not do a private yoga class together the day before the wedding so we could find some calm, some togetherness, and have an experience together before the wild wedding weekend. The class was beautiful. It was safe. I learned new ways to move my body. It was gentle, but it was also challenging. And it was with the friends that I loved so dearly. We flowed, we stretched, and when I melted into that first Shavasana, I was hooked. So for the next 10 years or so, I cultivated a self-practice at home, mostly from DVDs, eventually to YouTube videos. I popped into studios every now and then, but I found them really intimidating, really, really intimidating. All of the teachers seemed so flexible. They were strong. They were balanced. The fellow students, they were comfortable. They were knowledgeable. And I was not. I judged myself. I was not yet at their level. I felt like an outsider. You know, self-imposed yoga isolation was kind of my solution to the discomfort. And I told myself that I had to just squeeze yoga in. I was a busy project manager at a corporation. I was a wife, a mother raising two young girls, and I didn't have the time, or I thought I didn't have the time to carve out that space. So rather than owning it and becoming a student in the community, I continued to be intimidated and self-doubtful. And there I remained in my comfort zone. Don't we all do that, right? Practicing the same simple sequences, the same familiar videos over and over again. So all of that being said, in 2018, would you believe it, over 10 years after that lovely pre-wedding class that hooked me in to begin, I realized I hit a wall. And it wasn't just in the yoga practice, but it was also in my personal life, in my professional life. I realized I was stuck. I wasn't growing. And I was no longer comfortable with sitting in my comfort zone. I was finally ready to transform. I thought there had to be more to my practice and more to my life. So I committed myself to practice regularly at some nearby studios, and one in particular really, really began to feel like home. The teachers were approachable. They were not intimidating as I had felt in previous environments. This perception of intimidation, I'm not enough, was 100% self-imposed. I finally allowed myself to fully become a student of the yoga practice, rather than a half-assed student as I had been for years. I was curious. I learned to be okay with falling out of poses, falling apart on the mat, and really being okay with being imperfect. So, in this state of learning at my new home studio, I intentionally stayed after each class I asked questions of the teachers, built relationships with them. I wanted to learn more. I was eager to gain more and go deeper. And I took the more challenging poses home. I practiced them in my own time and in the safety of my own living room. And I felt their effects in my body, in my discipline, in my quieter mind. Something was happening. There was a shift in my mindset, in my confidence, and in my desire to make changes in my life.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And there's so many parallels with my own yoga journey. And one of them was being introduced to yoga in high school. And I was actually a competitive dancer. And I remember, you know, even though you weren't a dancer, like similar to you, just I think as a young person, it's like, oh, I'm already flexible. And like, I don't need to like sit here and stretch, which is a totally different experience than like my body in my 30s. but at that point, I was like the same. I remember going to classes and I was like, you know, they'd be like, soften into the pose or really allow yourself to relax. And I was like, no, I need to clench my abs and clench my glutes. And, you know, so concerned about what workout I was getting. So it's just really interesting to see kind of the shift that can happen as you dive deeper into the practice. And one thing that really strikes me about your story and actually made me feel like a little bit sad as a yoga teacher is to think about, you know, like you a couple of years ago feeling really intimidated to go to yoga studios and knowing that there's like thousands of people out there right now who could experience the benefits of yoga, yet they feel intimidated. And I'm curious, like, what was it? Do you remember like what it was about the yoga studio that felt intimidating?
Yeah, several things. So some of the teachers that I met just felt, this is going to sound so bad, but that they had this air of confidence that made them unapproachable. And with other students in the class, I felt intimidated because they had been practicing together for who knows how long. They'd built their community. They'd built their yoga family. And I found it was hard to break into that. I felt that I wasn't welcome. Maybe I was just too scared to take that first step and introduce myself and to lean into being a new person in that community.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's like a really important thing. You know, as like there's mostly yoga teachers listening to this. And I think it's really important for us to remember that, you know, not everybody understands what it's like to go to a yoga studio. Like, not everybody understands where to put your mat or how the practice is going to work or, you know, why we ground at the beginning or why we're syncing breath with movement and what Shavasana is all about. And I think that as a teacher, it can be really easy to kind of forget what that's all about. You know, even something like, you know, what do I wear to a yoga class? You know, people don't ask that because they're stupid. They ask it because they don't want to show up and feel like they've got the whole thing totally wrong. You know, like nobody likes to feel like that. So I feel like that's a really good reminder for us as yoga teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you just said, Amanda, really struck something. I was practicing at a studio the other day, a hot studio, not the place where I teach. And there, I assume there was a woman who was walking in for the very first time, 95 degrees studio, 95 degrees Fahrenheit studio. She had on sweatpants and she asked about, you know, what are the blocks and how do I use them? And I felt so sad as a practitioner in the room hearing the teacher say, oh, well, it brings the floor closer. And that was it. There was no other description of, oh, we can use it in this way, and I will cue you on how you make the floor closer when the time comes. And, you know, it was an interesting learning opportunity for me as a practitioner in that studio. Should I have jumped in and said, here, let me help you out? Would I have been stepping on that other person's toes by doing so? But yeah, there are beginners everywhere. And if we can pause and intuitively welcome them in and give them even just a little bit of guidance, I think it really goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it is always really tough when you're kind of experiencing something secondhand where you feel like you could offer something to maybe help somebody have a better experience. But I mean, I don't really know what the right way to deal with that is, because I feel like I would have the same sort of like, you know, it's like not my studio, it's not my class, I'm not the teacher here. Like, I mean, sometimes I even have that when I'm in classes and, you know, I see like an alignment situation or somebody struggling. And part of that comes from the fact that like, if it happens near my mat, you know, it's probably easier for me to see than the teacher, because the teacher is doing their best. But it's like not really my place to be like, hey, if you just do this, like it'll probably feel a lot better, right? Like I would hate if somebody did that in my class. It would feel so uncomfortable. But yeah, it's kind of this strange sort of experience, especially when you're like, hey, this person would have a better experience if we just spoke to it this way. Or if I could guide them a little further.
Exactly. And in that knowledge of, or in that space of sharing and community, not making it a competitive thing or an I know more than you, other teacher type of thing, but it's a let's help other people who are newer to the practice get comfortable and embrace it.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And so you had this, you know, this big journey with yoga. And was there like a point where you're like, okay, I love this practice so much, I need to teach this? Or what was it that kind of inspired you to become a yoga teacher?
Yeah. So as I got to know the teachers and the fellow students in the classes over the past couple of years, and I, go figure, finally came to realize that the fellow yogis were not as intimidating as I made them out to be. I think it was self-imposed. I was projecting my own insecurities onto them in some way and thinking they were perfect and knew everything. So once I began to see the fellow yogis as regular people, I realized they were flawed just like me. But the difference was that I saw how they owned it. They embraced it and they embraced each other. They were committed to their practices. They were committed to supporting each other's practices. And this goes for both teachers and students in the studio environment, I think. So many of us suffer from perfectionism and control. I'm way too familiar with that very exhausting way of living. I've told my friends and family a million times that I'm a recovering perfectionist. And so what I wanted to do in becoming a yoga teacher, I wanted to prove to myself that I could transform and that I could help other people and that I could be of service and I could be an inspiration. But even before I realized I could transform, I have to take a quick step back in my story. In 2012, I received my first cancer diagnosis. It was thyroid cancer. I had my treatment. I was in remission. I got back to life and work and family and friends, and I was comfortable again, you know, happily married, raising a family, working my ass off as a project manager in a very cushy corporate job. But intuitively, I knew something in my life wasn't right. There was an inner voice that was nagging and telling me that something had to change. I ignored it. I brought work stress home with me. I was depressed. And every emotion that I felt was bottled up and hidden away. And I knew it would be let out another day. I was too busy to process my feelings. Oh, goodness. But within the first couple of days of 2019, I received a second cancer diagnosis. This time it was melanoma. I'm currently okay. I'm in remission. But that 2019 diagnosis was my wake-up call. That nagging voice that I had been ignoring for so long came screaming out, screaming right on out. It was that second cancer diagnosis. Turned my world upside down. I realized I'd been approaching life with a deal with it tomorrow mentality rather than a face it head on today mentality. I was slowly dying in my body and in my soul, and I was doing nothing about it. So as you know, I've been practicing more consistently and really loving the warm and welcoming environment and seeing the strides that I was making in my practice, I said, I want to teach yoga. I spoke with my husband about it. And of course, he supported me even with all of my doubts. And gosh, Amanda, I will never forget what he said. He says, Kristen, yoga teachers are made. They are not just born. If you want to do this, then go chase it. Go do it. So I did some research on a few studios, not only at my then home studio, but other places nearby. It was a really tough decision. In my area of Northern Virginia, there are so many YTT programs available. I ultimately registered at a beautiful little practice center that had just opened its doors. And what drew me to them and their program was their accessible approach to yoga. Kind of what we spoke about a few minutes ago, and allowing the yoga community to grow to areas that might not have met, or to people who have might not have met yoga. I wanted to teach in a way that was not just for the super fit lifelong yogis. I wanted to introduce people to the practice in a very loving, open, and generous way. I wanted to become the teacher that I needed so many years ago. I quickly left my corporate project manager job. I'd been with the same company for 13 years. Yeah, it was tough. I still can't believe I made that decision so quickly. It was financially lucrative, but it was soul sucking. You know, my mental health, my physical health suffered greatly in the time there. But newly free from corporate world, newly committed to YTT, I was all in. 10,000% dedicated, fully ready to become a student in order to teach other students.
If you have a yoga studio, listen up. Running a yoga studio has never been more complicated. With all the new ways to interact with your current and potential clients, it's really easy to get overwhelmed. The last thing that you need is complicated studio software, slowing you down and zapping your free time. I know so many studio owners who feel frustrated because they're talking to customer support more than they're talking to their students. That's why I'm super, super excited about this latest update from OfferingTree. OfferingTree has added a lot of new features recently to meet the needs of studios. So check out what they have to offer or book a demo call at OfferingTree.com/pricing. The right software can help you make more money and spend more time doing what you want to do with your business. And that's why I believe in OfferingTree and the difference their tools can make for yoga studio owners. Who doesn't want to spend more time with students and less time struggling to piece together software? Also, have I mentioned that you can do everything you need to do all in one place with just one payment? So on top of spending less time struggling, you can also spend a little bit less money. I promise I won't be offended if you pause the show for the next minute to head on over to OfferingTree.com/pricing to book a demo call. And of course, we have a special discount for you for listening to the show, and that's OfferingTree.com/MBOM. So make sure you check that out. All right, now back to the show.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that journey with me. And I'm really glad to hear that you're doing okay, because I know that, well, I don't know firsthand, but I can only imagine how scary it would be to have, you know, a physical diagnosis such as cancer. And so really grateful that you're doing okay. And also just, it's really inspiring to hear that you made the decision to leave your job. I mean, leaving a job is always hard, but I think especially when, you know, it pays well and you've been doing it for, you know, 13 years. I'm sure you were doing quite well for yourself in the company and that sort of thing. And it's hard. Like, that stuff is really hard to do. And I feel like it just shows a lot to be able to trust yourself in taking that leap. So just want to honor that, because I know it's not easy. I left a job after 2 years, a corporate job after 2 years, and that decision was hard for me. I can't imagine if I'd been in that, you know, six times longer than I was. It would have been so much harder for me to make that jump. So really, really amazing that you were able to do that.
Thank you. And I think For both of us, right? Whether you leave after 2 years or 13 years or 30 years, it's being able to intuit what needs to happen and to realize sometimes that we make certain decisions based on what society expects of us. And I think that's where I got stuck. Like, yeah, I'm supposed to climb the corporate ladder. That's what people do. And that little nagging voice eventually told me, no, this is not it for you. There's something more. And I'm grateful that I got to explore it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to be able to trust that little voice, I think, you know, you are exactly right. Like, society tells us certain things. And I mean, I certainly experienced that. I have a business degree, so definitely heard, you know, what I was supposed to do in the corporate world time and time again. And I also had that little voice, and it just felt like, you know, this is not right. What do I do next? And trusted that. And here I am, and here you are. So, you know, if anyone out there is listening and feeling scared about this, know that you can trust yourself with this.
Absolutely. And
yeah, for sure. And so now that you've graduated from your yoga teacher training, can you tell me a little bit about what life has been like as a new yoga teacher for you?
Ah, thanks. Yes. So I just graduated in December 2019. So I'm still fresh off my YTT. These days, I'm currently working one class a week at the studio where I took my training. I'm also subbing there occasionally, as well as subbing at a really lovely women-focused co-working location nearby. Yeah, really magical space. I have to share the pictures of that space with you.
Yeah. What is it called?
It's called Rowan Tree.
Okay. I'm going to have to Google that because I love co-working spaces and I love that there's yoga there and I love that it's female focused. So definitely up my alley.
It's awesome. Yeah. Supporting other women and on our entrepreneurial adventures. So it's a cool place. But then I do have some feelers out at other studios and fitness centers. Last week I had an interview with a studio. I had an audition the week before that. So honestly, things are slow to start, but I'm proud of myself for putting myself out there in the studio world. But beyond that, the move I'm most proud of since my graduation from YTT is I've also started my own small yoga business. It's called Courage Yoga. And it's really focused to bring accessible yoga and meditation to private clients, to small groups, and to corporate wellness programs. I know firsthand how much the practice of yoga, mindfulness, meditation can really help people, especially in their day-to-day lives of the cubicle politicking and drama and never-ending projects. The struggle is real. And I wanted to give people like myself from my old world help and guidance in that space. So new business has launched, Courage Yoga. I have yet to take any clients, but I am confident it's going to happen.
Yeah, 100% it's going to happen. And I just think, you know, one of the things that was really exciting to me about being able to talk to you is just hearing kind of this like starting phase of a yoga business. And you've touched on so many good things already. Like, putting yourself out there and going to interviews is scary. It's scary in every industry. And in the yoga industry, you usually have to do it in like multiple different places. And that is even more terrifying than just interviewing at like one business for a full-time job.
So true.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm curious, what have been some of the biggest challenges or lessons that you've learned since entering the yoga industry?
So many challenges, so many lessons. Where to begin? If I may break this down a little bit more, if I think about the yoga world and all of the people within it, I think about different groups of people. And as I have before, I really want to be authentic and honest and talk about challenges, but also some of the beautiful things that I've encountered, if that makes sense. I think about the yoga community as primarily made up of four different groups. Group one is potential yoga students, people who have not yet practiced. Group two, yoga students who are currently practicing. Number three, yoga teachers. And number four, yoga studio owners. And so in each of those four groups, I've experienced some beauty and some generosity. And I've also experienced some speed bumps, some challenges. In the first group of potential yoga students, I realized many acquaintances, contacts of mine, when they learned I was becoming a yoga teacher, said things like, wow, yoga, I'd really love to try it sometime. And then they never showed up. Yet. I'll say yet. I'm still early on in my journey, right?
Yeah, they still might come.
They still might come. Or I'll hear, wow, yoga, but I can't do that because ... You know, the reasons that people come up with to not be able to come to yoga, it runs the gamut. I've heard everything, as I'm sure you have, like yoga's only for women, or I'm hypermobile and my doctor says that I can't, or I'm too busy, or you name it. There's always a reason, and that's okay. People aren't ready for the practice yet. But because there are so many new potential students, I'm trying my very best to educate them on how I teach and how it's different. Like, as an example, the way I learned how to cue in my YTT was cue breath first, then body movement, then the focus point drishti, and finally the pose name. So it's almost like you're getting into, you're using the body to get into the pose rather than calling out the pose name and expecting that everyone in the class is going to know what you mean. You know, I'm sure we've all been there as a beginner. Teacher might say in the classroom, all right, right side triangle. And then where does that leave the new person? They're looking around, trying to see what is this triangle and how am I doing it wrong? And oh my gosh, everyone's looking at me because it's wrong. But my way of teaching is to cue, you know, inhale, lift your heart, exhale, take a big step to your right with your right foot, spin your right toes towards the front wall. Inhale, lift your arms to a T. Exhale, kick into your back hip. Reach forward with your right arm until it reaches thigh, shin, ankle, floor. Inhale. Left fingertips reach for the sky as you twist your torso open. I know it's a lot of words, and it might not be for everyone. However, I believe that cueing the body movement, although it may take a little bit longer, might allow new people to find the practice more accessible and finding it within their own body rather than looking externally for someone else on how to do it.
Yeah, no worries. And I, just to touch on that, I really love what you're talking about there, because I think that, you know, we were all new at one point. We've already talked about how, you know, you felt this intimidation to go into studios. And I remember times where, like, you know, things were said in English, but I feel like even when you get even deeper with that, like Trikonasana, I'm like, what on earth is this? What am I supposed to do?
Sanskrit?
And then you're just kind of, and then you're kind of left like looking around the room. And I, you know, this is something I've thought a lot about as a yoga teacher, because I also feel like it's important to honor the lineage, and Sanskrit is of course part of that. But I think there's also, like, you want to make sure that people feel welcome in class and comfortable in class and like excited to come back. And I think that saying all those things is an important part of that. And I also think that we shouldn't assume that even our more advanced students know everything about a pose. Maybe they've always just been told, go into triangle pose, and they learned by looking at other people. And maybe there's like that little cue that all of a sudden they have that little aha moment of like, whoa, I've been doing this like kind of different the whole time I've been practicing. So there's kind of two sides of why that can be important.
Absolutely. And then what I also like to do once I've cued the body into the pose is then say the pose name. That way you know, they can take that forward. If they're able to, you know, consistently come to class and over time realize, ah, this is what triangle feels like in my body. If I go somewhere else and someone says triangle, they can do it. A good friend of mine, this is funny, it's kind of a small world story, not a small world story. What am I thinking?
Like a coincidence?
A coincidence. Here you go. A fellow very good friend and yoga teacher who actually was one of the women who practiced with me on my pre-wedding day yoga class. She is now a yoga teacher as well. And she has cautioned me very generously, very thoughtfully. So, Kristen, I really like the way that you cued that. However, not all people are auditory learners. And what I'm finding as a current edge as I'm teaching classes is the way that I learned absolutely works. But I need to continue my growth to make sure that I'm also bringing in those who might be more visual learners or kinesthetic learners, or figuring out how I can not only cue the body movement, but demonstrate it, model it in a way, but in a way that I'm still present. And that's an edge for me. But awareness is always the first step, right? How can I be more crisp in my cueing and reach all the different types of learners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. And also, like, one of the hardest things about being a yoga teacher, I think, one of the misconceptions, I think, between practicing and teaching is like, oh, this practice is so amazing. I feel so good. I'm so zen after. And sure, you definitely have those experiences as teachers, and it's very, very rewarding and fulfilling. But there's also like a lot that goes into it while you're in the moment of, like, you know, all the words that you say, making sure it's clear, doing a good balance of making sure that you show people if maybe your words aren't working, gearing towards all types of people from all types of backgrounds with all types of experience. And I feel like you just touched on, you know, just a reminder of how complicated it can be.
It really is. So true.
Yeah, it's like as much as you can hone your words, you know, there might be somebody who does better from actually seeing it. And then, you know, it's your job as the teacher to also provide a good balance of demonstrating while not practicing the whole class and that type of thing. Amazing. Were there any other challenges that you wanted to mention?
A couple more, if we've got the time for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we chatted about the yoga students to be, shall we call them, the future practitioners. With existing students, I think one of the challenges that I've realized is just because a class time is set on the calendar, and just because I've had a couple of regulars, it doesn't guarantee that students are actually going to show up. Especially as a new teacher teaching in a new studio. And I believe most yoga teachers have been there, and many of my teacher friends have assured me that studio class attendance is never a guaranteed thing. But it sucks. Let's be honest. I mean, I've arrived to teach class. I'm so excited to teach and to share my passion. I've practiced my cueing. I've curated my playlist. I've pulled a few quotes maybe from the Yamas or Niyamas book or some other inspirational thing that I'm reading to inspire and to weave into the practice. And then no one shows. And I know it's not all about me. I have to tell myself that. I think it takes reminding. But when I taught my community class the day of my YTT graduation, I had 15 people in the class and one dog in the class. That's another story. We can focus on the 15 people. But it was a generous room full of my supporters. And since December, my class has whittled down to 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 students. It's gut-wrenching. I know I have so many people cheering me on in spirit, and I'm admittedly a recovering perfectionist people pleaser. So when I'm faced with that empty or that nearly empty classroom, my thoughts go to a dark place, negative self-talk. No one likes my class. I'll never be good enough. Why did I decide to do this? It's never going to work out. But I have to pause when I hit that kind of downward spiral and really try to remember. Actually, one of my YTT teachers' advice or words kind of ring in my head here. It's the teacher appears when the student is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of reminding myself to get out of my own head, to stop being selfish, and that it's not about me, right? As teachers, we're here to serve the students. And so my commitment, and I'm reminding myself of this, my commitment needs to be that I will always be ready to teach. I'll be consistent. I'll be inspirational. I'll bring the modifications and the accessibility. I'll study up on the anatomy. Admittedly, that's still a blind spot for me, an area where I need to dive deeper. But when you come to my class, I will be ready for you. That is my commitment. And I have to be patient with myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're touching on like one of the biggest challenges as a yoga teacher in general, but certainly as a new yoga teacher. I mean, I think there is, and I've experienced this too, you know, like all your people, you know, come and support you for the first little bit. And then, you know, they slowly kind of whittle away, like you're saying. And I feel like, you know, then you kind of have to find like who your yoga people are, like your yoga students. Cause I think that for a lot of us, there's the difference between like our families and our good friends who maybe don't really want to practice yoga all the time. And hopefully we convert a couple of them along the way. Let's be real. But, you know, there's like, we also have to kind of find like our own niche within the space. And you're touching on something so important. Like it takes time and it takes patience. And, you know, sometimes it means like showing up 100% prepared to give your all in a class and having like nobody be there. And that's hard. It's really hard.
It's hard. It sucks. But I have to remind myself, as I did just a couple of days ago, if no one needed yoga specifically at 7:30 p.m. on Monday, it's okay. You know, maybe my students aren't there because they're working late or they're having dinner with their families or they're not feeling well, or maybe they're at home practicing the sequence that we worked on last week. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the self-absorbed, why aren't people here, rather than to think about students as the whole person and everything that they've got going on in their lives, and realizing that I can be prepared and I can be ready for whenever they show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Did you have another challenge that you wanted to chat about? Or was that the last one?
Another challenge is, okay, I'll talk about this challenge quickly. So earlier I mentioned the three different communities within yoga, the third community being the yoga teachers. And for the most part, I really have not yet experienced any challenges within the yoga teacher community. I really see a genuine support for each other, sharing knowledge, giving each other feedback, passing opportunities back and forth to one another. I have heard anecdotally that there's some competitiveness and some politicking. Thankfully, I haven't experienced it myself. I guess that's a job hazard no matter what type of work you're in. But for the most part, I've just been so pleased and feel so supported by the other yoga teachers in the community. But the fourth and final group, yoga studio owners, I think the challenge that I've realized is, yeah, yoga's competitive and it's really hard to make money in this business as a teacher and as a studio owner. There've been a couple instances where I've reached out to studios for one thing or another, whether it's been during my YTT needing to observe other classes or reaching out for teaching opportunities. And I've heard a lot of no's and it's broken my heart. But once again, stepping away from myself and knowing that others have to set the boundaries that they need and they have to make their strategic business decisions. It's a tough world out there.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, just in my experience within the yoga industry and working with studios and working with different yoga teachers, I think it is like there's a lot of complexities around it. And I think it is exactly like you said. I mean, it's competitive, yet the way to be successful, I think, is not to have a competitive mindset in a lot of ways, because when we work against each other, it doesn't really help any of us as yoga teachers. And, you know, it's hard because there's only so many spots on a schedule. And I think studio owners are really trying to find teachers that are the best fit for their studio. And, you know, yoga teachers who have been teaching for 10 or 15 years and they draw big groups of people and, you know, they fill classes up and they have that experience. Like, you know, often the classes go to them first, which I think, you know, to me, as somebody who's only been teaching for 5 years, I feel like that makes sense to me. Yet it's challenging when you're a newer teacher and you're like, I know I have good stuff to offer and I know that I have value and I know that I have worth. And, you know, not being able to find those types of positions can be really challenging. But one of the things I really love about your story is that you've already started a business for yourself, you know, right out of the gate and really getting clear on like what that's going to look like for you. Because obviously I have a Business of Yoga podcast, as you know, since you've been listening and we're chatting for it. But, you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that, you know, just teaching studio classes is probably not the way to do it full time. And I think we really do have to look at how we can expand ourselves outside of the studio, because it really does have a limited number of availabilities. I do really appreciate the fact that you shared all of those challenges and what you've learned and stuff so openly. And so my final question for you is, if you could give yoga teachers who are just entering yoga teacher training, so who are, you know, a step behind you in their journey, one tip for when they finish their trainings based on what you've learned, what would that be?
One tip is such a hard question. Nothing's going to be handed to you. There's no easy button. You're going to work your tail off in YTT and you'll have to work your tail off even more as a new teacher. Market yourself, put yourself out there, develop content, be a trusted resource and be real, be authentic, be yourself. Teach as many community classes or substitute classes as you can. And the sooner you can get into a classroom, the more comfortable you'll be in the long run.
You know, just to touch on the very last thing you said is a lot of things that I've heard from yoga teachers, you know, and trainings I've done and people I've worked with and people I've emailed back and forth with is like, I just don't know when I'm going to be ready. And I feel like the biggest thing that I've learned is like, kind of like there is no easy button. Like, I feel like there's kind of not really like a ready button. Like, it's like, are we ever really ready for things that are hard and scary? I don't know. Some people, I think, more than others, but I think that just knowing that it's going to be really like awkward and uncomfortable the first time you teach and it gets easier, and it doesn't matter. Like if you wait 2 years before you teach, it's still going to be awkward and uncomfortable because you've never done it before. So just go for it.
Exactly. And I believe that the further we get away from our trainings, the more we're going to lose that edge.
Amazing. Kristen, this conversation has been so awesome. I'm so grateful that we were able to connect today. And if people are interested in learning more about you, you know, touching base with you, following along with your journey, where can they go to find you?
Oh, yeah. And thank you, Amanda, for having me. This was awesome. I am so grateful for the opportunity and for the trust. I would love for people to reach out. You can find me at courageyoga.com. You can also find me on Instagram at Kristen Zucaro. That's KristinZucaro.
Amazing. Kristen, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great having you on.
Thank you, Amanda.
All right, friends, I hope that you enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Kristen Zuccaro. I hope that you enjoyed hearing the ups and downs of teaching yoga that she talked about. I hope that if you are just getting started, hopefully you were feeling heard and understood and empowered to get out there and get started and just know that you're not alone. If you ever need support, know that I am always here for you, cheering on your side and always happy to support in whatever way I can through coaching or programs. Of course, a huge thank you to Offering Tree for sponsoring this episode of the show. Make sure you guys go check them out, offeringtree.com/MBO. And of course, thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the podcast. To find links, notes, resources, and everything mentioned in today and all episodes of the show, you can head on over to mbomyoga.com. You can find the podcast and myself on Facebook and social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And I would love for you to join the private Facebook community, Yoga Business Badasses. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please make sure you reach out to me at info@mbomyoga.com. And last of all, if you enjoyed this episode of the show, please make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. It would mean the world. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.